Hey, today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud. Today's shir is sponsored by Shaki Klar Lilui Nishmas David Yamnik, David Yifrach Ben Tuvia. The neshama should have an aliyah, and also by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank Dr. Lander very much for the sponsorship. So today's daf, we're holding about 5-6 lines before the end of the page in daf. Tess Amid Beis. Today's daf feels like a brachos daf. It is that kind of sugya, a lot to do with tefillah. So the Gemara is going to first talk about, we were in the middle of the conversation yesterday about if a person is getting a haircut or doing other things that may distract him before the time for davening. So we're going to compare Mincha and Mariv as far as having a su'uda is concerned. And then the Gemara is going to get into a discussion of dressing up for davening. How a person should you dress up or dress down for davening? Does it depend on circumstances? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the value of long davening, whether that's a valuable thing or particularly not a valuable thing. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the value of judging Dinei Torah. Is that more important even than Talmud Torah, the greatness of judging Dinei Torah? Then at the end of Amud Aleph, we're going to discuss davening in a bathhouse, and that not every part of the bathhouse is exactly the same, and certain parts of the bathhouse may be better for davening, and other parts may be worse for davening. And then on Amud Beis, going into Amud Aleph tomorrow, we're going to have 9 different statements of Rava Bar Mechasya in the name of Rav Chama Bar Gurya in the name of Rav. The first 4 of those statements are going to be in today's daf, and the rest of them are going to be in tomorrow's daf. So that's going to be the plan for today's daf. So let's begin. We are holding again 5 lines from the end of the page on daf Tes Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Hani Chavrim Bavlai, our Chavirim in Bavel, who would always, as we discussed yesterday, undo their belts when they would have a meal. So the man, the Amar, Tfilas Arvis Rishus, for those who hold that Tfilas Arvis is not a chova, that it's only Rishus, Kivin Deshari Leimanye, once they open up their belt for their Su'uda, La Matrachinalei, we're not going to be Matriach them to stop their Su'uda and put their belt back on to daven. They can finish their meal, they'll daven after their meal. Because Tfilas Arvis Rishus, in that sense, it's a little less serious than Mincha is. Where do we find Tfilas Arvis Rishus? That's the sheet of Rabbi Shua in Mesachas Brachos and Daf Chav Zayin. Why is Tfilas Arvis Rishus? So the Gemara over there explains that Tfilas Arvis is Keneged, the Haktaras Chalavim Ve'Evarim that happened overnight, which is not Ma'akev the Kapara, as opposed to Shachris and Mincha, which are Keneged, the Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, respectively, and that's Ma'akev the Kapara, certainly, those are the actual Karbanos. Tfilas Arvis is only the burning of the fats and the limbs that are not ma'akev the kapara. Now, even Rabbi Yeshua, who holds Tfilas Arvis Rishus, Tosfos points out in Maseches Brachos, he doesn't mean that you could just choose not to daven. No, Tfilas Arvis Rishus doesn't mean you could be mevatel it for no reason. Yaakov Avinu was mesaking Tfilas Arvis according to the Gemara in Brachos, Dav Chavav. He wasn't mesaking something that people could just totally ignore. That's what the Ran points out. And also, it's Keneged Haktaras Evarim of the Karbanos, which is Mitzvasim Kol Laila, even though they're not ma'akev the kapara, it is what you're supposed to do. It is a mitzvah, so Tfilas Arvis is also a mitzvah. When we say Rishus, we just mean less of a mitzvah than the other tefillos, but it certainly is a mitzvah. So bottom line is, because Tfilas Arvis is on a slightly lower level than Tfilas Mincha, we're not going to be matriach a person to put his belt back on. Once he started his meal, he can finish his meal and then daven later. L'man Yom Rechova, Matrachin and Leis. So says our wait. And if you hold like Rabbi Gamliel that Tfilas Arvis is a chova, so we are going to be Matriach a person to do this. But Tfilas Mincha dul Kalyan Machovihi. Everyone agrees that Tfilas Mincha is a chova. And our Mishnah said that once you begin your Su'uda, you don't have to stop to daven Mincha. And we defined what does it mean that you were Maschil? It means that you opened up your belt. So even for Tfilas Mincha, which is a chova, once a person opens up his belt, he doesn't have to stop in order to daven mincha. So why are we attributing, why is Abaye attributing the fact that you don't have to stop in the middle of your meal for Tfilas Arvis to the idea that Tfilas Arvis is a rishos? Even if it's a chova, you shouldn't have to stop. So the Gemara has 2 answers. Answer number 1, Hasam lo shchicha shichrus, Hacha Shchicha Shichrus. When it comes to Tefillas Mincha is the middle of the day. People aren't drinking in middle. Healthy people don't drink in middle of the day. They have things to do. They're not going to be drinking in middle of the day. World coming to an end, notwithstanding, right? People typically don't drink in middle of the day. So you don't have to be choshesh that the person is going to get drunk and then he's going to lose his tefillah. And therefore, we allow him to conclude his su'uda, and then he's going to daven afterwards. But hacha, but when it comes to tefillas arvis, shchicha shichrus, there's very common that a person is going to get drunk, and therefore, if you hold that tefillas arvis is a chova, we're not going to say, finish your meal and don't worry, you'll daven later. Because we are worried. You're not going to die. You're going to be drunk later, and a person is not allowed to daven when they are b'shichrus. A person is not allowed to daven when they are drunk. I have a piece in my first sefer about this, about davening while drunk. Now, certainly there are different levels of shichrus. There's shichrus o shalot, where a person certainly can't daven, but even if a person is drunk to the point that he's not able to be omed a medaber lifnei hamelech, he shouldn't be davening, because if he's not able to be medaber lifnei hamelech, that's what the definition of tefillah is. There's also shasoi al yoda, that a person who has drunk is not allowed to paskin. That's probably a lower level of shichrus, because to paskin halacha or to dan a din Torah, a person needs to have his mind very, very sharp. For davening, you have to be able to be medaber lifnei hamelech, but the mind doesn't have to be quite as sharp. So that's answer number one. Inami, another answer. B'mincha, kiven de kaviyah lezimna, mincha, since it has a zman kavua, that you're only allowed to daven for a very short window of time, mirtas v'lasi lemivsha, a person is going to be afraid to miss the zman, and he's not going to be posheya, so we allow him to finish his meal, because he's always, you know, throughout the meal, he's always going to be looking at his watch, he's always going to be thinking, when is the zman going to be over, to try to make sure that he doesn't miss it. But arvis, kiven de lekuli lele zman arvis, the whole night you have for zman of mariv, lo mirtas v'lasi lemivsha, person's not so afraid that he's going to miss the zman, so then he's likely to be posheya, and he's going to lose out on the tefillah, and therefore, according to Rabbi Gamliel, that tefillah service is a chova, you have to stop your meal in order to go and daven mariv. So now the Gemara goes back to what Rabbi Chanina said, that at the moment that a person undoes his belt, now he doesn't have to stop anymore to daven. So Maskef la Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes asks Rabbi Chanina, why if he undoes his belt, does he not have to stop? Trichusa the Meser Him Yone, is it such a big tircha to redo your belt? Oh, we're not matriachim. How big of a tircha is it to buckle your belt? And even if it is such a big tircha, so don't do it. Don't buckle your belt. Just daven. What do you have to buckle your belt for in order to daven? So answers the Gemara, Mishum Shenemar, no, the Pasuk says, He kol nikras elokecha Yisrael, that a person should make himself look nice before he comes to daven, and therefore a person should not daven without first buckling his belt. Tosos points out in Dibra Maskel Trichusa that we asked two questions. We asked, what's the big tircha to buckle your belt? And second of all, why do you need to daven that way? And the Gemara answered, you need to daven looking nice. So it didn't really answer the first question. So Tosos says, yeah, sometimes you have like that. That the Gemara asks two questions, and it's not even choshesh to talk about the first question. It only answers the second question. In Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Yisvengel, in Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Kivegar over here, says that you have like that sometimes. That Ukinyan Zeh, he gives a whole list where you have Ksuba Sadiheim, Psachim Ayin Ches, and Zvachim Dov Zayin. Throughout the Shas, you have a lot of times like that, that the Gemara will ask two questions, and the Gemara will only answer one of those questions. In the Hagos, in the back of the Gemara of Rav Eliyahu Gutmacher, he writes that you could tell when the Gemara thinks the first question is a real question, and when the Gemara thinks that we could ignore the first question. When it says va'od, then you know that we could that we have to answer that the first question is not such a big question; it's very easy to answer, and the Gemara is not necessarily going to answer. But when it says visu is an indication that it's really a good question, and therefore we better answer it. The Ritva says, no, we did answer both questions. The Ritva writes that since Hikon Likros Elokach Yisrael, it means you can't just buckle your belt. You really have to make yourself look nice. You know, sometimes a person can just buckle their belt. Sometimes they tuck themselves in, they straighten their shirt, they make sure. So Hikon means not just to buckle your belt, it means to really make yourself look nice. And this leads us into a discussion now, says the Gemara, of dressing up for davening. Rava Baravuna, Rami Puzmake Umatzli. He would wear nice shoes or nice slippers, and he would daven that way. So Amar Hikon Likros, it says in the Pasuk, Hikon Likros Elokach Yisrael, so you got to dress up for davening. Tosfos points out that we see from here that you're not allowed to daven barefoot, except for Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, when you're not allowed to wear shoes. Otherwise, yeah, because of Hikon, a person has to put on shoes. The Rambam in the fifth paragraph of Hilchos Tefillah says that that's only when it's the derech of the people in that place not to be omid b'fnei agdolim without shoes on. But in certain cultures where they're omid b'fnei agdolim without shoes on, so then you can be omid b'tefillah as well without shoes on. So the Rambam thinks it's not an ironclad rule, it's a cultural thing. Rava Shadi Glime, Rava used to take off his chashava clothing, he would take off his jacket, let's say, upachar yadeo matzei, and he would hold his fingers together, and one on top of the other, one hand on top of the other, like a person who's mitztayer, like he's suffering, he's in pain, and he would daven. Amar ka'avda kamemari, he says like an eved who's speaking in front of his master with ema and yira, that's the way a person should look. So a person shouldn't get all dressed up, it makes it look like a person is proud and gaivadik, and that he's a somebody. That's not the way you should appear in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You appear like a nobody in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Amar Avashi Chazina leRav Kahana ki ikat sara bialma. Rav Ashi says a third hanaga. Again, so far Rava Barav Huna got dressed up. He put on his nice shoes. Rava dressed down. Right, Rava would take off his nice jacket. Rav Ashi says that I noticed that Rav Kahana was somewhere in the middle. Ki ikat sara bialma, when there was tsar in the world. Does that count as a daf yomi coincidence? When there's tsar in the world, so he would daven shadiglime, he would take off his jacket to the upachar yade, and he would hold his hands together, matzi, and he would daven that way. So Amri said, ka'avda kamemari, that I'm going to be like an eved in front of his master, but ki ika shlomo, when there's shalom in the world, lavishu mischasi, so he would get dressed up in his nice clothing, misate for matzli, and he'd be misate from the talis, and he would daven, Amar, he called the cross of the kechi Yisrael, and he would say that one has to prepare themselves properly and get dressed up to daven. In the Ein Eliyahu writes that maybe there's a parallel over here. We have these three attitudes toward tefillah. We had Maseches Brachos, three attitudes toward, we have three attitudes toward dress during davening. In Maseches Brachos, we had three general attitudes toward davening. We had the idea on Dav Lamed and Beis of Ein Omdim L'Spal El Mitoch Kovid Rosh, that a person has to daven from a sense of Kovid Rosh. We also had an idea that Ein Omdim L'Spal El Mitoch Simcha Shel Mitzvah, that was in Dav Lamed Aleph, and we also have in Dav Lamed Aleph Ein Omdim L'Spal El Mitoch Halacha Psuka. So Rava Barav Huna said that you're supposed to be Mispal Mitoch Simcha, so he would put on his nice shoes, his nice slippers, and he would daven. Rava holds Kovid Rosh, and therefore he's Pashat Esklima, so he would take off his nice jacket. Rav Ashi holds Halacha Psuka, so he would Shas Shalom, he would wear the nice clothing. Shas Tsar, he would take off the nice clothing, because it was like a halacha. You had to figure out what logic dictated for that time and adjust your dress accordingly. So that's how he parallels these two sugyas, the sugya Shabbos Dav Yud and the sugya Brachos Dav Lamed and Lamed Aleph. Okay, now the Gemara discusses davening for a long time. Rav Chazal Rav Amnuna Dekam Marich B'Tzusei. He saw that Rav Amnuna davened for a long time. Amar Menichin Chayei Olam V'Oskim Chayei Shah. You're leaving aside Chayei Olam, which is Lima Torah. That's called Chayei Olam, and instead you're doing Chayei Shah, which Tefillah is considered Chayei Shah. Rashi writes because most of the things we daven for are this worldly things. We daven for Parnasa, we daven for Refuah, we daven for Mizonos, we daven for Shalom. Those are things that are this worldly things. So we call that Chayei Shah in comparison to Torah. V'hu Savar, but Rav Amnuna for his part thought that it's not called leaving aside Chayei Olam, because Zman Tefillah L'Chud, Zman Torah L'Chud. There's a time to daven and there's a time for learning, and therefore there's nothing wrong with being marich b'tfilah. I think Rabbi Yisrael Reisman said they once had a shayla in Tar V'das. It was Nes Tzara, and they were saying Tehillim after davening, after mincha, every single day, and some of the bachrim were complaining that it was eating into the afternoon seder to say all the Tehillim. So they asked Rav Moshe what they should do. Is it more important to learn, or is it more important to daven during the time? So Rav Moshe said, this exact expression, Zman Tefillah L'chud, Zman Torah L'chud, meaning they're both important, and you got to do both of them. But he did warn, don't say so much Tehillim that people are going to lose their focus. You can only say it for as long as people are going to concentrate. So he said only about a half hour, which is pretty generous of Rav Moshe to assume that people will concentrate on Tehillim for a half hour. But that was what he had said. The Chassam Sofer explains this machlokas based on the famous machlokas Rambam Ramban about whether Tefillah b'chol yom is daraisa. The Rambam, the very first halacha in Hilchos Tefillah, says that it's a mitzvah sasei min haTorah to daven every single day. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Hey, says no, the chiv is only be'es tzara min haTorah to daven. So Rav Hamnuna must hold like Shitas HaRambam, says the Chassam Sofer, that it's a mitzvah to daven every single day, and therefore zman tefillah l'chud, zman Torah l'chud, he could daven very well every day. But Rava must hold like Shitas HaRamban, that it's only be'es tzara. But if a person feels that he's lacking mizonos, refuah, or whatever, so it's an eis tzara for him, so such a person should daven be'eis tzara. But Talmidei Chachamim shouldn't consider any of those things a tzara. Talmidei Chachamim should be mufka, more mufka from things in Olam Hazeh, and therefore they shouldn't be marich b'tfila too much. That's how the Chassam Sofer understands. Anyway, Rabbi Yirmi Avi Yosef Kamedi Rabbi Zeira Vavo Aski B'Shmeita. Rabbi Yirmi was in front of Rabbi Zeira and they were learning together. Nogalutzliyeh, and because of their learning, they delayed in davening. Vavakamisravi, Rabbi Yirmia, and Rabbi Yirmia was rushing to go daven. So Kari Le Rabbi Zeira, Meisirazma Mishma Torah, Gam Tfilasa Toeva. That if a person turns his ear away from learning Torah, his tefillah is going to be Toeva also. That Torah and tefillah go hand in hand. We had such a similar thing in Mesechus Brachas also, that there were those Amoraim who were makbid to only learn to only daven in the place that they learn. What was it in Daf Ches? I think it was that the Gemara said that in the Lekrish Baruch Hu Dal Ramel Shal Lacha Bilvad, that we assume there's a greater sense of Hashras Hashchina in a place where a person learns, and therefore that becomes the place where a person would want to daven. Meimasayas Chalas Din. When do we assume is the beginning of a Din Torah? Because we had said in the Mishnah that if you began, you're not mafsik. So what is considered the Haschala of the Din? Rabbi Yirmi of Rabbi Yona, Chad Omar Mishi is Atfu Adayanim. It's when the Dayanim put on their talisos to wrap themselves up for din. The Chad Omar Mishi Yiftuchu Baleidinim. It's when the Baleidinim begin to express their tainos. Velo pligi, Hadaski Vasubedina, Hadalaski Vasubedina. When we say that the Tchilas Din is the Baleidin speaking, that's talking about where it wasn't the first case on the docket that day. So the Dayanim were already Nisatif. So the Tchilas Din is when the Dayanim speak. But when we say that the Tchilas Din is when they're misatef, that means in the first case that they're dealing with that day. So once we're talking about din, we're going to talk about the value of din. Rabbi Yami, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yasi, Garsi, Beni Amudei, they used to learn between the pillars of the Beis Medrash, the Kol Shaita V'Shaita V'Tavche Yibra D'dosh V'Amri, Yikadis L'din Alei V'Leise, and they used to bang on the posts of the Beis Medrash, and they would say, if anyone has din Torah, come and we'll deal with the din Torah. Apparently they went out of their way to go look for a din Torah. Tosos proves from here that it's better to be done a din Torah than to be osek b'Torah, and the Achronim point out, the Chassam Sofer points out, it's not from the fact that they were mevatel Talmud Torah for, because really you're mevatel Talmud Torah for just about any mitzvah, meaning Talmud Torah is so that you learn, so that you can do, and that's why we don't apply the din of osek mitzvah patur ben a mitzvah to Talmud Torah. It's the fact that they went out of their way while they were learning to try to drum a business for dinei Torah. That's the raya that Tosos has, that dinei Torah are even more important than Talmud Torah. Rav Chista, Rabbi Rav Huna, Yasu B'dinu Kaliyom. They sat in din all day. Have a kacholish libayu. So you got hungry because they were being done dinei Torah all day. So Talmud Rav Chia Barav Midifti. So he taught a brisa that you don't have to sit all day. Vayamar Amel Moshe Min Aboker Ad Erev. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu was dealing with dinei Torah from morning to night. V'chisala Al Daitcha Shemoshe Yosef Don Kol Yom Kulo. So if that were the case, Torah Sam Masay Nases. When would Moshe Rabbeinu have time to learn learn if he was being dan dinei Torah all day and all night. No, ela lomar lecha that kaldayin shadan dinem es lamita afilu shah achas mala lova kasuv kilu nasu shutva lekadosh baruch hu b'maisa bereishis. That if a person is dan a din emes lamito, he judges the case properly. That the Gemara tells the Masech Sanhedrin, if I'm not mistaken, that or Masech Shavuos rather, that din emes lamito means a higher level of emes. Emes is not to avoid a din maruma. Amito means not to be mata the din, meaning it's a higher level of emes that a person is able not just you're not just dealing with the tainas that are in front of you. You're looking, you're reading between the lines. You're seeing it's not just relying on what people are saying. You're reading facial expressions. You're reading the situation. You're looking more deeply into it. So you want to make sure that it's absolute emes. So then a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then he's like a shutuf with a Kodesh Baruch Hu in Maisa Bereishis. The Torah in the very beginning of Chosh Mishpat explains what this has to do with Maisa Bereishis. It says a Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world to be able to function properly, and Rishayim that are Gozlim and Chosim and Chomsim are destroying the world through their actions. That like the Dara Mabul Onechtem Gzardinam El Ala Chamas Ala Gezel. So Kimola Aretz Chamas the pasuk says, and that's why Vineni Mashkisim Es Aretz, it destroys the entire world. So a person who sees to it that Din prevails and that there's justice in the world is actually being Mekayim the Olam, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended it. So how do I know that being dan din emes lamito is shutav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because k'siv hach, v'yaman amel moshem in aboker ad erev, k'siv hasam, and by Meis HaBreish says, v'yerev, v'yivoker yom echad. So the reference to Boker and Erev the reference to Boker and Erev is the comparison. I just got a notice on my computer that the meeting will end in 10 minutes, so we're going to have to re-log on. You have to click again in 10 minutes when we get automatically knocked off, so just a warning about that. Okay, I'll have to fix that for tomorrow. Ad Masa Yoshvin Badin, when do Dayanim sit in din? Until when? Amrav Sheshes Adzman Tsu'uda, until the time for a meal. Amrav Chama Mikro, what's the pasuk that teaches us that? Tichsiv Ilucha Eretz Shemalkich Nar V'Sarayich Baboker Yochelu. Woe unto the land who the Dayanim act like children and they're not paying enough attention to their job, and through that they the Sarim will get up and eat early in the morning. Ashrich Eretz Shemalkich Ben Chorim V'Sarayich Be'is Yochelu. And fortunate is the land who the leaders are B'nei Gdolim, are people of stature, because such a Melech doesn't act like a child, and through that the Sarim also won't eat until the time to eat comes. And first they'll judge the nation. Begvura v'lo bashsi. Begvura shel Torah v'lo bashsiya shel yayin. That when they judge, they'll be engaged in Torah with the gvura of Torah and not with drinking wine. Tan Rabbanan, shor rishona machaludim. A person eats in the first hour of the day. That's like the Ludi people. These are cannibals. Obviously their eating habits are not something to admire if they eat in the first hour of the day, if they're cannibals. Shnia machalistim. The second hour of people eat in the second hour of the day, that's the practice of gazlanim. Shlishis machal yorshin. People who eat in the third hour of the day, that's like people who have inherited a great wealth, so they don't have to work too much. They don't have to work for a living, so they eat in the third hour of the day. Revius machal polim. Those are workers that work for somebody else. Chamishis machal ben adam and machal kol adam rather. And the typical people will eat in the fifth hour of the day. So says Gemara, you wait till 5 hours a day till you eat anything. Veini v'amrav papa revius man suuda lekol adam. Didn't we say that the fourth hour of the day is this man suuda for everybody? Now le revius machal kol adam, chamishis machal polim, shish. So the way we should have said it is the fourth hour of the day is when most people eat, fifth hour is when workers eat, and the sixth hour is when Talmidei Chachamim. If a person goes longer than that without eating, it's like throwing a stone into an empty pitcher in order that you should fill up. It's not going to help. Meaning, once you're that hungry, it's not going to be good. So Amar Abaye Lo Amaran Ella Delotoy Midi Bitzafra Avoltoy Midi Bitzafra Leslan. But that's only if the person didn't eat anything in the morning. But if a person ate something in the morning, then it's not considered Zorik Evan Lachemus. Then it actually is a healthy eating habit to eat. again 6 hours into the day. But just to have a little taste of something in the morning, not a real su'uda, certainly not shtiyas yayin, then he'll be able to have a proper su'uda at 6 hours into the day. So now the Gemara is going to discuss davening in a bathhouse. It's a little bit strange, as Fasemis points out, that all of a sudden we start talking about davening in a bathhouse over here. What does davening in a bathhouse have anything to do with anything we've been talking about? So he says, as Fasemis explains, because one could have asked, why is it that Haschalas HaMerchatz, we described yesterday that the beginning of bathing is when a person removes certain clothing. Machlokas Rishonim, whether it was the outer layer of clothing or his most inner layer of clothing, but the point is, that was considered the beginning of the Merchatz. Why not say that the beginning of the Merchatz is as soon as he walks into the Merchatz? Why do we have to say that it's when he removes his clothing? So says Fasemis, that's why the Gemara is trying to highlight, walking into a Merchatz does not preclude the possibility of Tefillah. A person could daven even in certain parts of the Merchatz, and that's why it only is considered Haschalas Rechitza when a person actually removes some clothing. So Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, Mispalad Tefillasa Beis HaMerchatz, a person could daven in a Merchatz. So Meisvei, so they asked Rav Ada Bar Ava that the Braisa tells us, HaNichlas Beis HaMerchatz Makom Shmei Adam Amdum Levushin, if you're in the outermost room of the Merchatz where everybody is dressed, Yesha Mikra Utfila, so that you're allowed to daven Kriyashma and daven, you're allowed to say Kriyashma and daven there, Vein Tzarech Lomar Shei L'Shalom, and if you're allowed to even daven and say Kriyashma there, certainly you could be Shol B'Shalom Chavero, which we're going to explain, being Shol B'Shalom Chavero normally involves saying Hashem Hashem, and that's why we typically don't do it in dirty places. U'meniach Tfilin, and you're also allowed to put on Tfilin there, Vein Tzarech Lomar Shei L'Cholitz, and certainly if you're wearing Tfilin, you do not need to remove your Tfilin when you're there. Makom Shmei Adam Omdim Arumim Ulevushin, in the middle room of the Beis HaMerchatz, where some people are dressed and others are not dressed, Yesham She'el HaShalom, so you're allowed to be Shol B'Shalom Chavero, Ve'in Sham Mikru Tfila, but you're not allowed to be Kor Kriya Shema, you're not allowed to Davin, Ve'inu Cholitz Tfilin, and if you went there with Tfilin on, you don't have to take them off, but you're also not allowed to put tefillin on if you carry them in your tefillin bag. You're not allowed to put tefillin on in that middle room of the Beis HaMerchatz. And then we go into the innermost room of the Beis HaMerchatz. Makom Shmei Adam Omdim Arumim, the inner room where everyone is undressed. Ain Shom She'el HaShalom. You're not allowed to even be Shol B'Shalom Chavero. Vein Tzorech Lomar Mikro Tefillah. Certainly, you're not allowed to say Kriya Shema or Davin. V'cholit tefillin. And if you're wearing tefillin, take them off. Vein Tzorech Lomar She'enam Anichan. We learned in Masechus Bracha on Daf Chav Gimel that you have to remove tefillin 4 amos away from a Beis HaKisei. That not only do you, when it comes to a Beis HaKisei, not only do you have to take tefillin off, you have to remove the tefillin 4 amos away. Over here by the Beis HaMerchatz, it's the innermost room where tefillin need to be removed before you go into the innermost room. So Ki Kamar Avad Barava B'Merchatz She'ein Bo Adam. So the Gemara answers, meaning this whole thing was a question, that you see from this Braisa that you're not allowed to daven in a Beis HaMerchatz. So how could Avad Barava say that you're allowed to daven in Beis HaMerchatz? Answers Gemara, no. Ki kam Rav Ada Bar Ava b'Merchatz she'ein bo adam. The Rav Ada Bar Ava says you're allowed to daven in Merchatz, talking about when there is no one there, when no one is undressed over there. Whereas the Braisa is talking about a busy Merchatz, where there are things going on, there are people that are undressed. Va'amar Rav Yosef Ben Chanina, Merchatz shamar af pi she'ein bo adam. Beis HaKisei shamar af pi she'ein bo tzoa. But didn't Rav Yosef Ben Chanina say that a Merchatz is considered a Merchatz even if there are no people there right now? A Beis HaKisei is considered a Beis HaKisei. Say that you're not allowed to daven in the Beis HaKisei, even if there is no tzoa there right now. The Beis HaKisei has a din of a merchatz hapnimi, where you're not allowed to even be shoel b'shalom chavero, and there's no mikra, and there's no tefila, and you're supposed to be cholitz tefillin. So Beis HaKisei is like the innermost room. Sansa Gemara, Elki Kam Ravada b'chadati. No, Ravada was talking about a brand new merchatz that no one ever used to actually bathe. It was just designated for future use as a merchatz. So Ravada Baravus mechadish that hazmana for a merchatz doesn't aser it from davening. That hazmana lav milsa. That too was a sugya in Maseches Brachos about hazmana. We had hazmana as far as kedusha, as far as like a tefillin bag, and we had a din of hazmana as far as areas of tumah, areas of that are more smelly and that would preclude the possibility of tefila. Vami bayu bayu le Ravina, but didn't Ravina raise this question? Is mina lebeis hakisei mahu yesh zimun o ein zimun? That if you designate an area to be used as a beis hakisei, but you have not yet used it as a beis hakisei, HaKise, does that already grant it the status of the Beis HaKise, v'lo of Shitale, and he was never poshet the Suffolk. So lav wadin the merchatz. So just like we were not poshet the Suffolk about a Beis HaKise, shouldn't we assume that we're not poshet the Suffolk about a merchatz either? So how could you say that according to Rav Ada, it was poshet that Azmana doesn't aser, and that you're allowed to daven merchatz that you never bathed in before? So it says more low. Dilma shiny Beis HaKise de ma'is. Maybe Beis HaKise is different than a merchatz because a Beis HaKise is more ma'us, and it's just calling it a Beis HaKise makes it kind of gross, and that's why Ravina was not sure if hazmana for a Beis HaKise would aser it from Dvar Meshabe Kedusha. But legabe a merchatz, not so disgusting. So maybe just designating something as a merchatz does not aser it for Dvar Meshabe Kedusha. Good, that ends the first half of the daf. Now the Gemara is going to have nine different statements of Rava Bar Mechasya in the name of Rav Chama Bar Gurya in the name of Rav, four of which appear on this daf. The first one is going to relate to a merchatz and Sheila Shalom, and the rest of them will be on different topics. So we had said, a reminder, if we get cut off in the middle, just log right back on. So we said, Ein Shem Sheila Shalom, if it's asur to be shol b'shlom chavero in a beis merchatz. So Meseyel El Rav Amnuna Mishmedula, that's a riot to what Rav Amnuna says in the name of Ula. Damar asul adam sheitin shalom l'chavero v'beis merchatz. And a person cannot be shol b'shlom chavero in a merchatz, shenemar v'yikro lo Hashem Shalom. Because the pasuk says Hashem Shalom, so you see that the shame of Hashem, one of the shemos of Hashem, is Shalom. And that's why you're not allowed to use that name in a Beis HaMerchatz. So says the Gemara, Elameata, if that's true, that you're not allowed to say the Shalom in the Beis HaMerchatz because the pasuk says Hashem Shalom, so any word that's juxtaposed with the word Hashem is also a Shem Hashem. So Himnusa Nami Yasu Lememri, you shouldn't be able to say Himnusa in a Beis HaMerchatz, Beis HaKise, Tichsiv Hakel HaNeman. It says Hakel HaNeman. So you see that Neman is also a Shem Hashem. V'chitei ma'achinami, you're going to say in achinami, that's true. But v'am rav bar mechasi am rav cham bar guri am rav shari l'meim ram nusa beis hakisei. He said that it's mutter to say am nusa beis hakisei. So says Marano, hasam shem gufei lo ikrei hachi. Oh, we got logged off. Okay, welcome back, everybody. Or almost everybody. Okay, so we said Hakel HaNe'eman, right? So Hakel, if you're going to say that Hakel HaNe'eman is also going to be the juxtaposition of those two phrases, means that Hashem's name is Ne'eman, so then you shouldn't be able to say Ne'eman in the Beis HaKise. But maybe you'll say Nochinami, but Amar Rav Chaim Bar Guri Amar Rav, and here's the first Rav Chaim Bar Guri Amar Rav, Shari L'meim Amnusa Beis HaKise. You're allowed to say Amnusa Beis HaKise. Says Mar, no. Hasam, when it comes to HaNe'eman, Shem Gufei Loik Rehachi. The Shem Hashem is not called Neman, the Metargaminon, because the Targum of the Pasuk is Alakad Mehemna, Hashem who is trustworthy. Meaning we're describing how Hashem behaves, we're not giving a shame to Hashem. But when it comes to Shalom, Shem Gufei Yikri Shalom. By Gidon, we find that the Shem Hashem itself is called Shalom. Dechsiv Vayikra Lo Hashem Shalom. That he calls him Hashem Shalom. Now, second statement. V'amarav Bar Mechasi, Amarav Cham Bar Gurya, Amarav. Hanosim Matana L'chaveru Tzarech L'odio. If a person gives a matana to his friend, he has to let his friend know that he has given him the matana. How do I know this? Shenemar, because when it comes to Shabbos, the Pasuk says, L'das Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem, that it's an osi beni uveneichem, that you should know that Ani Hashem Mekadishchem. That's this week's parsha, right? So Dav Yomi coincidence. So Tanya Nami Hachi, L'das Ki Ani Hashem Mekadishchem, Amar L'Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, Matana Tova Yesh Li B'Beis Kenazeh, that I have a matana tova in my treasure house, v'Shabbos Shema, and it's called Shabbos. V'ani mevakech litn liYisrael, and I want to give it to the Jewish people. Lech vodiem, so go let them know, because you have to let people know when you're giving them a matana. So mikan amrim Shem Gamliel, and also in paslatino tzarich l'dialimo. That's why if you give a child a cookie, you have to let the mother know that you've given the child the snack. So my avilei, what should you do to the tinok to let the mother know? Meaning the kid, you see the kid without about his mother and you give him a snack. So how do you let the mother know? Amar Abaye, shoyf le mishcha umal le kochala. You rub some oil around his eyes, or you put chol around his eyes, which is something that's very nicker. The mother's going to see him, and the mother's going to say, your face is a mess. What happened to you? He's going to say, well, I met this very nice man, and he put this on my face, and he also gave me a cookie. So since he's going to tell you the whole story, he's going to tell the mother the whole story, so then she'll know that you did this this favor of giving the matana to the child. So says the Gemara, but nowadays that might be viewed as a little bit weird. So nowadays people are going to be choshesh l'kshafim, that you're rubbing oil around his eyes. They're going to think you're casting some sort of spell on the kid or something. So my, so what should you do? It's a little bit dangerous to do that. So Rav Papa, shayef le me osa amin. No, just take some cookie. If you're giving him a candy, so make sure, you know, he might do it on his own, but just to be sure, you rub some around his mouth so that he'll come, you know, it's like the kid that has blue all around his mouth after eating the blue candy or lollipop. So his whole face is blue, so then you're able to tell right away that that they just had a snack. So says Mar Eini Vamar Rav Chama Rabbi Chanina, Hanosi Matan al Chaveru Einu Tzarech Lodia. But wait, didn't we learn that you don't need to let people know when you give them a gift? Shenemar Umoshe Lo Yoda Ki Karanar Panav Bedabro Ito. That was this past week's parsha. Now the Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even realize that it was Karanar Panav, that his face was shining when Hakadosh Baruch Hu was speaking with him. Says Mar Lo Kasha, Habim Milsa David Lagluye, Habim Milsa Dlo David Lagluye. When we say you don't have to let him know, that's when he's going to find out anyway. Whereas when you do have to let them know is when they're not going to find out anyway. Moshe was going to find out that Karan are panav. So you have to let someone know when you have to try to let someone know when Mimela the person is going to know anyway. That the fact that you rush to let someone know is like you're being machriz, meaning in such a circumstance if the person's going to find out anyway and you're rushing to tell everyone what you did, it's as if you're trying to show that you owe me one. So but as opposed to if they're not going to know on their own, so then it's proper etiquette to let them know. But wait, Shabbos is something that ultimately was going to be revealed to us, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this matana, so why does he have to let us know? So matan schar lo avdagluye. The schar that we get for Shabbos is not something that we were ultimately going to know. Rav Chista avinokit biyadei tarti matanta de Torah. Rav Chista was holding two matnos kuhuna that were taken from an ox. So Amar kol man da'asi v'amar li shmeitza chadita mishmei derav. Anyone who could tell me a new teaching of Rav that I never heard, yehivna le ne'ale, I'll give him these matanos. I love the teachings of Rav so much that if someone could tell me something new that I didn't know before, I'll be happy to give these to him. So Amar le Rav bar mechasya, hachi Amar Rav, I got one. Hanosi batal l'chaver etzarech l'odiyo, shnermel l'daski ani yashem mechadishchem. So yehivna ne'ale, that was good enough. He gave him these portions of the matnos kuhuna. So Amar, so Rav. Rav Bar Mechasi said to him, "Chaviv Nolach Shmeitzah D'Rav Kulei Hai." Wow, you really love Rav's teaching so much. You gave up so much for one little statement of Rav. So I'm like, "In?" He says, "Yeah, I do." So I'm like, "Hainu Dam Rav Milsal Bishayu Yakira." He says, "Ah, that reminds me of something else Rav used to say, that if you have nice that certain clothing are more beloved to the people who wear them. Meaning a person has like a favorite shirt, a favorite jacket, or whatever. Other people don't think it's such a special shirt or jacket, but that person likes it. So you're a Talmud of Rav, so you really like the teachings of Rav, so you have this special affinity for Rav's teaching because he's your Rebbe. So Amar Rav Hachi, he said, oh, Rav said that also? Basrei Sa'adavli mi Kameisa. That's even a greater teaching than your first teaching about the Matanos. If you have an Akitna Achrita Yehivnalach, if I had more Matanos Kuna, I'd give them to you for that teaching. Third statement, Vam Rav Bar Mechasi Amar Rav Cham Bar Guri Amar Rav. Lo Olam Al Yishan Adam Bino Bein Abanim. A person should not distinguish one of his children among the others. Shebishvil Mishkal Shnei Slaim Mila Shenosin Yaakov Liosef, because of just the weight of two slaim of nice clean wool from a clean sheep that Yaakov gave to Yosef. Yosef Mishar Banim more than his other children. Niskanu Ba'achiv, it caused the jealousy of the brothers. Niskal Gal Dav Riyadu Avaseinu Mitzrayim. And that's what led ultimately that our forefathers went down to Mitzrayim. I think Rashi points out that this shear of Shnei Slaim is Lavdavka. Stam Ksones weighs more than Shnei Slaim, Rashi points out. So it's Lavdavka Shnei Slaim. I think one of the Achronim says, no, it's Davka. Because I think it's Gemara in Chulin that says Mila Besela Shtika Bishtayim. That a good word is worth a Sela. Silence silence is worth two slotim. So maybe Dafka Yaakov was sending Yosef a message. That Yosef kept on telling his brothers, oh, I had a dream about this, I had a dream about that, you should know all about my dreams. So Yaakov was saying, Shnei slotim, Shtika b'shtayim, Shtika is worth two slotim. So he gave him a coat that was Shnei slotim, Milas, to wear, and that way he wouldn't hold himself over his brothers. Let's just do one more. A person should dwell in a city that has just recently been populated. Because there aren't that many averos yet in the city. There wasn't enough time for people to do averos. So my krova, what does krova mean? If it means that it's easy to run there and it's small, you don't have to be makbid, that it's going to last, so then v'akachazulei. But the malachim themselves saw how close Sodom was and its size. So it can't be they were describing the city. No, because it was only recently settled, there weren't that many averos in it. Amar Rav Yavin Mikra, what's the pasuk that tells us this? Tichsiv, imolta na shama, na begematria chamishin v'chad havi. Na is a gematria of 51. So the amount of years that Tsoar was settled was 51 years. Vishal Sodom chamishnu trei, but Sodom was 52 years. So since Tsoan was newer than Sodom, it was better than Sodom in that sense. Vishal Vasa, and the time of the peace of Sodom was Esrim Vishesh, was 26 years. Dichsiv shteimis shana avdu, that the Melch Sodom, the Melch Amor, the Melch Haram, they as Kedor LaOmer, these people worked for Kedor LaOmer. Ushlosh esrei shana mardu, and then they spent 13 years rebelling. Ubarba esrei shana, and then in the 14th year, Bakadar la'omer, etc., and he made a milchama. So then Avram saved them, etc. So you see that 26 years, they were b'shibud and milchamos. So it was only after that that the time of Shalva of Sodom arrived, and because the amount of years that Sodom was around was 52 years, so you see this amount of Shalva was only 26 years in total when you do the math. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with statement number 5 of Rava Bar Mechasi, Amrav Chaim Bar Gurya, Amarav. Everyone should have a wonderful day, and everybody should stay safe. Take care.
Shkayach.